Dear friends, this is Bishop James D. Conley, Bishop of the Diocese of Lincoln, Nebraska. And this is my pastoral letter, One Heart in Christ, on our pastoral plan for the next 5 years for the Diocese of Lincoln. One Heart in Christ. The Sacred Heart. Our Lord appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in Paray-le-Monial, France, on several occasions between December of 1673 and June of 1675, and revealed to her his Sacred Heart. Jesus said to her, "My divine heart, so inflamed with love for men, and for you in particular, that, no longer able to contain itself, the flames of this ardent charity, it must pour them out through you and be manifested to them in order to enrich them with its precious treasures, which I now reveal to you." While devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus had existed in the Church for centuries and was promoted by numerous saints and spiritual authors, the apparitions to St. Margaret Mary spread devotion like wildfire. Several years after my conversion to the Catholic Church, during my junior year in college, I hitchhiked with several friends throughout France and Italy. We ended up spending a significant amount of time at a cloistered French Benedictine monastery called Notre Dame de Fontcombault. While there, for the first time in my life, I began discerning a possible vocation to the religious life, that maybe God was calling me was something I had never considered before. After 5 months at the monastery, I discerned that God was not calling me to be a monk. I was at loose ends and confused. While I was living in the monastery, I had read a book about the story of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque and the apparitions of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and so I decided to hitchhike across France by myself to Paray-le-Monial to visit the shrine in hopes of seeking some kind of clarification about my future. It was a cold and rainy evening in early spring when I finally arrived in Paray-le-Monial after 2 days of hitchhiking. The shrine was closed and I hadn't made any arrangements for accommodations. I found the parish church in town and it was locked as well, but I noticed that there was a light on in the rectory next to the church. I decided to walk up to the door and ring the bell. I told the elderly priest who answered the door that I was an American and I had come to visit the shrine of St. Margaret Mary and had no place to stay. He told me in very kind, but in no uncertain terms, "You can't stay here." I asked him if he knew of any place I could stay. He noticed that I had a sleeping bag attached to my backpack and told me that he could open the closed school and I could sleep in one of the classrooms. The school building was very old, but it was dry, and I had a roof over my head. I had been hoping to write my parents while I was traveling, and since the classroom was full of desks, I decided to write a letter home. When I sat down in one of the school desks, I lifted up the top of the desk to look inside, and it was empty, except for an old crucifix that looked like it had come off of a rosary. I picked up the crucifix and turned it over, and engraved on the back in French was the date June 7, 1878. As I pondered the crucifix, it dawned on me that the date I arrived in Paray-le-Monial was June 7th, 1978, exactly 100 years later from the inscription on the back of the crucifix. I had no clue what this meant, but I knew that that crucifix was meant for me, and so I put it in my pocket. The more I pondered, the more I believed God was telling me that He had a plan and not to worry. He had given me the sign of his son's love on the cross through his Sacred Heart, indicating that I was still on the right path. I wasn't sure what his plan was, but I felt deeply that the Lord was preparing me for something and had given me this sign of hope that things would be okay. It wasn't until 1980 that I discerned a vocation to the priesthood and began seminary studies in the United States. But the love and security of the Sacred Heart of Jesus stayed with me, and it gave me peace. Nearly 30 years from the day I found the crucifix, on May 30th, 2008, on the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, I was consecrated and ordained a bishop in Denver, Colorado, and chose as my episcopal motto, Cor ad cor loquitur, heart speaks to heart, the same motto as my life's mentor and spiritual inspiration, St. John Henry Cardinal Newman, the newest doctor of the church. The name. The Sacred Heart of Jesus has always played an important part in my life. So when our pastoral planning team decided on our diocesan pastoral plan's name, One Heart in Christ, it immediately resonated with me. The name captures the ultimate goal of our diocese and for all of humanity, to be one heart in Christ. The visual image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus inspires us to achieve the greatest heights, to overcome the suffering of this life and spend eternity with Christ in heaven. When we look at the challenges Catholics face in this age, it may seem like an unscalable mountain, but our charge is to strive for the mountaintop. So, to the heights, verso l'alto in Italian, as one of the church's newest saints, St. Pier Giorgio Frassati, would tell us. The Sacred Heart image revealed to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque represents our Lord's never-ending and unmeasurable love for each one of us. He is calling us back to Him through devotion and prayer, through relationship with the Father. When it comes to the words of the name we've selected, each one matters. Jesus, the Word incarnate, knew the importance of words. When being tempted by Satan in the desert, he quoted Deuteronomy 8:3. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." One heart in Christ begins with the word one. In this case, one doesn't mean singular in number, but united in focus and purpose. We are working together in community as the one body of Christ to accomplish our one mission. It's the same mission Jesus had when he was here on earth, to enter into an intimate relationship with the Father. We can't accomplish this on our own. It has to be done with others. We were made for community, to be in relationship and not isolation. Jesus sent the disciples out two by two to preach the good news to the world. He also said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." When we gather, He is there for us. It's also interesting to note that our Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, chose for his motto as Pope a line from his spiritual mentor, St. Augustine, "In illo uno unum," in him we are one. This theme of unity in the one seems to be what we need today more than ever, with the growing divisions in society and even in the church. It is only in Christ that we find true unity. God gave us the sacrament of marriage in which man and woman are joined together and they become one flesh. When we walk toward God together as one, we seek what is good for each other and for all. As we rouse one another to love and good works, so one is a call to friendship and relationship. as we look to the future of our diocese, we know that though we are many, through the One, we are called into relationship with the Father. The second word in our title, heart, brings us back to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It is our North Star for our diocesan journey. His wounded heart is a sign of Jesus' humanity and his divinity, and most importantly, his love for the Church's one body, individually and collectively. The scars on his heart remind us of the suffering he went through for our redemption. Our sins wounded his heart then, and they still wound his heart today. His grace and mercy, though, will overcome all if we call upon him to heal us. Our Church and our diocese have scars that need healing because we're still wounded. This pastoral plan won't be the answer to every problem we are facing or every issue that awaits us in the future. It's not meant to be. Jesus is meant to be. Today, tomorrow, forever. Jesus Christ is the answer to which every human life is the question, as Pope St. John Paul II so often said. We will never face a question Jesus cannot answer. We just need to be wise and strong enough to put our trust in Him and His Sacred Heart. Jesus, I trust in you. My Episcopal motto, Cor ad cor loquitur, heart speaks to heart, is a principle that can guide all of us in the months and years ahead. Let our hearts speak to Jesus' heart, and then let us listen. He will answer us as we search for the path that leads to Him. Pope Francis, in his last, and I think most beautiful encyclical, Dilexit Nos, He Loved Us, on the Sacred Heart of Jesus, reminds us of the importance of the heart. He writes, "The symbol of the heart has often been used to express the love of Jesus Christ. Some have questioned whether this symbol is still meaningful today. Yet living as we do in an age of superficiality, rushing frenetically from one thing to another without really knowing why, and ending up as insatiable consumers and slaves to the mechanisms of a market unconcerned about deeper meaning in our lives, all of us need to rediscover the importance of the heart." The word in One Heart in Christ that is easiest to disregard is the shortest, in. It is small but mighty. In gives us direction and tells us how we're going to accomplish our plan. We can't do it without Jesus, by going around Him or only involving Him in a half-hearted manner. This plan only succeeds if, as the priest says in the concluding doxology of the Eucharistic prayer in the Mass, it is done through Him and with Him and in Him. There is no other way for a Catholic to live his life except in Christ. We are not aiming for a mediocre faith or a below-average faith. Our goal is a mountaintop faith. In leaves no room as to where we are going and how we're going to get there. There's no path forward without Jesus being an integral part of our lives. In is an active word that doesn't leave room for passivity. We need to make sure we're in church, in our children's schools, and living in God's grace. When it comes to our faith and our future, we need to be all in. Finally, we save the most important word for last, Christ. From the Greek Christos, it means anointed. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Anointed One. He is God's Word made flesh. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is where each of us began our journey and where we will end it. He is our destination. He is our purpose. He is our God. We have said from the start, our one mission is to develop a relationship with God the Father. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the doorway to the one who gives us eternal life. That's why our focus is Christ. We may lose our way at times on this journey, but Christ is always there waiting for us, helping us to find our way back to Him so we can continue on. We cannot afford to take our eyes off Christ, because at all times, He is all that matters. One heart in Christ is more than a title. It's a commitment for our diocese. If we can come together as one, focus on the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and strive to be a people always living in Christ, we will address the needs we have set forth and do the work necessary to achieve our mission of a close relationship with our God, that mountaintop faith. So, to the heights. Our vision. The Diocese of Lincoln is a church that speaks to the heart of its people, leading them to Christ and eternal life. This is the vision for our diocese in the next 5 years. As we've identified, the destination and our focus is Christ and eternal life. Being a church that speaks to the heart of its people begins with listening. As part of the pastoral planning process that began in 2024, we listened to many groups and individuals across the diocese in a synodal or walking together process similar to the one championed by Pope Francis. Almost 300 diocesan faithful accepted the open invitation to provide feedback, either as part of a listening session or by submitting a comment form. The listening sessions included participants from 28 different cities and towns, both urban and rural, in our diocese. In addition to parishioners, the sessions included 34 pastors, 6 women religious representing 4 different orders, 19 members of the Diocesan Pastoral Council, and 38 diocesan staff employees. I'm grateful to all who gave their time to provide feedback. The insight provided served as the foundation for our One Heart in Christ pastoral plan. You told us what you saw as the strengths of the Diocese of Lincoln, including strong vocations, our Catholic schools, the evangelization of high school and college youth, our orthodoxy and reverence, as well as our ministry, mission, and community outreach. You also identified the challenges our diocese faces, including the well-being, support, and training of priests, sustaining our Catholic schools, and the ongoing formation of our teachers and administrators, adult evangelization and formation, communication, transparency, and accountability, rural inclusion and engagement, physical infrastructure, and the role of the lay leadership in the church. I then formed a demographically and geographically diverse planning committee of 15 members of our diocese to join me in reviewing the quantitative and qualitative data. We determined 4 priorities, each to be addressed by 4 goals. The committee did an excellent job considering there are many more recommendations than we could include in our areas of emphasis for the next 5 years. We had to make difficult choices, and those only came after hours of discussion, debate, and prayer. The listening we did with parishioners, clergy, religious, and lay leaders developed into the long-range vision for our diocese. From the vision, we then built our mission, which incorporated our present purpose and how to achieve our vision. Our mission. The mission of the Diocese of Lincoln is to cultivate the healing love of Christ in the faithful and those who seek Him by proclaiming the gospel, walking with one another, and worshiping through prayer and the sacraments. If our diocese is going to speak to the heart of the people and lead them to Christ and eternal life, What should we be saying, and how should we be saying it? These questions lead us back to the priorities we identified as the most impactful for our diocese. Having determined what success looks like, what do we need to do to achieve it? Of course, God's plan surpasses any plan man could develop, but He allows us to cooperate with His plan. It's not a passive participation, but a very active one in which we are called through prayer and work in cooperation with God's grace to strive for the good of all. In our diocese, we believe that means sharing God's love by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, accompanying one another, and praising and worshiping our God in the ways He has shown us. Once again, we are being called to trust in the Lord. Entrust your works to the Lord, and your plan will succeed. We need to be bold and creative. Think about the one way you can best share Christ with one another, and then do it. It is not easy, but it is important. In fact, it's vital if we are to accomplish our mission. When you attend Mass, how many others are there who could be attending Mass, maybe even wanting to attend Mass, but for whatever reason aren't doing so? How many do you know who left the church, or who maybe don't know anything about Jesus Christ? What if you got up the courage to ask one, just one of them, if he or she would like to come with you next time? One person experiencing Christ in the Mass may not change the world, but it could change his or her world. Be bold. Ask. You don't have to bring people to Christ all by yourself either. As I've mentioned before, we are meant to be in community. We can accompany each other on our spiritual journey, and that makes our load a little lighter. How does that happen? Invite someone to coffee or a meal and talk about something more meaningful than the weather, like eternal life. Offer to help a neighbor with a project they're working on. Tell yourself in the morning you're going to look for someone doing good that day and then thank them for their actions when you see it happening. There are so many ways to walk with others. We just have to pick the one that works best for us. In the end, it's really all about relationship. Sharing God's love and accompanying one another come together through prayer and the sacraments. The Catechism of the Catholic Church calls prayer a vital necessity and quotes Origen, "He prays without ceasing who unites prayer to works and good works to prayer." Only in this way can we consider as realizable the principle of praying without ceasing. The seven sacraments of the Catholic Church are instituted by Christ, and they are His way of sharing divine life. The Catechism calls the sacraments the masterworks of God. The sacraments and prayer are ways we can stay focused on our mission and through God's grace use the priorities we have established to impact our diocese and lead all into relationship with God the Father. Our pastoral principles. The priorities that came from the listening sessions and the planning committee are our pastoral principles. These are four pillars that anchor our One Heart in Christ pastoral plan. They are healthy parishes, education, religious vocations, and holy marriage and family life. I'll identify the objectives for each and discuss some of the specific goals that will help us improve and grow in these areas. Also, I'll share a recommendation for a saint or saints who is involved with each pillar and is someone you may want to ask to intercede for us as we strive to strengthen each area. Healthy parishes. Nurture thriving parishes throughout the diocese by supporting an engaging and relational parish culture. Healthy, thriving, engaging, and relational are ways to describe the kind of parish we would all like to belong to. These are the kinds of parishes that stand out because of how good they are, as well as how good they're doing. Our diocese can help support parishes in their efforts to excel in a number of ways. One goal is to increase evangelization opportunities in order to increase the number of people attending Mass and participating in parish events. Another is to achieve full and active participation in the sacred liturgy, which leads to more people attending Mass in adoration and receiving the sacraments. Beauty and transcendence in worship lifts the heart to God and draws the soul into the mystery of His divine love. Sharing the good news and then seeing a church that is fully alive and actively worshiping God at Mass are great ways to encourage more people to attend Mass. They see the faith being lived out and they want what we have. Another goal in developing healthy parishes is to grow faith formation and discipleship participation in order to foster a sense of belonging and mission. We are called to be missionary disciples, just like the early Christians. The fourth goal under this pillar is to inspire and equip parishioners to take an active role in lay leadership and the health of the parish. That can be done in ways that include the stewardship of parish facilities and property, helping with operations, and assisting with the financial health of the parish. Service is a big part of creating healthy parishes. The diocese can serve our parishes by providing needed support and guidance for service opportunities. Parishioners can also support parishes by serving one another and building up the small part of God's kingdom He has entrusted to you. Saint Teresa of Calcutta's life on earth revolved around service. Mother Teresa preferred to spend her time and energy on the things she could accomplish rather than become discouraged by the many things she could not do. "If you can't feed 100 people, then feed just one," she said. "Whatever we can do to help another or our community, we should do it. It is not what we do, but how much love we put into it," was another of her observations. She understood the importance of service. Saint Teresa of Calcutta, watch over the parishes of the Diocese of Lincoln. Pray that each one of us may look for opportunities to share God's love, enthusiastically worship Him, and look for ways, even small ways, we can make a difference in our parishes. Let us have the heart of a servant, just as you did. Let us be one heart in Christ. Education. Educate to inspire virtue, service, and a thirst to know Jesus. Education is a part of life. We all learn and we should never stop. As St. Augustine said, the soul grows by learning. We learn from our teachers, our parents, our family, our friends, and our co-workers. We also learn from our experiences. Sometimes we learn hard lessons. Hopefully the lessons we learn stick with us for a lifetime. Our educational goals in the Diocese of Lincoln cover formal education and faith formation. We want to grow parent and family faith formation, discipleship, and participation through educational opportunities that foster a sense of belonging and mission. We also want to revitalize youth intellectual and faith formation across all programs, CCD, homeschool, youth ministry, Catholic schools, to form lifelong disciples through evangelizing catechesis. Our Catholic schools, ministries, religious education, and homeschool opportunities provide the foundation for a child's Catholic faith. That's a foundation we hope will last a lifetime. But as we know, that's not always the case. How do we firm up that foundation so the faith principles a child learns in a fourth grade classroom provide the basis for the faith decisions he or she will make as an adult? Another goal is to garner the necessary resources to achieve optimal enrollment in our Catholic schools and expand as needed. Our Catholic schools provide an amazing academic and faith-based education for children. We want every family in our parishes to seriously and prayerfully consider enrolling their children in our schools if they haven't already. The education they will receive there is unmatched, but we still have classroom seats unfilled. A good school provides a rounded education for the whole person, Pope Benedict XVI said. And a good Catholic school, over and above this, should help all its students to become saints. And what better educational result could we hope and pray for than for students to become saints? Our final educational goal is to prioritize education, training, and ongoing formation for priests and lay administrators, teachers, and support staff. Those who teach and work in our Catholic schools sacrifice to do so. We want to help them reach their potential in the work they do. We can't give what we don't have, and all of us are called to continually deepen our faith and to grow intellectually with the mind of the Church. When our administrators, teachers, and support staff become better, our Catholic school students become better. Pope Leo XIV named St. John Henry Newman not only a doctor of the Church, but also the co-patron of Catholic education, joining St. Thomas Aquinas. St. John Henry Newman understood education involves more than the mind. The heart is commonly reached not through the reason, but through the imagination, he said. That applies appropriately to the education goals of our One Heart in Christ pastoral plan, in which we encourage creativity in addressing the challenges we face as a diocese. St. Thomas Aquinas, like St. John Henry Newman, knew there's more to education than textbooks and classrooms. Love takes up where knowledge leaves off, he said. By striving for virtue, service, and a knowledge of Jesus Christ, we hope our students will fall into the arms of love incarnate. St. John Henry Newman and St. Thomas Aquinas watch over our Diocese of Lincoln schools, our home schools, and our religious education programs and ministries. Help all those involved with Catholic education pursue virtue, know the joy of service, and never quench their thirst to know Jesus. Pray that we may always bring the knowledge and love of Christ to all who seek Him. Let us be one heart in Christ. Religious vocations. Support our clergy, religious, and aspiring vocations as spiritual fathers and mothers so they experience being seen, known, and loved. Christ is our center and focus in this pastoral plan. Christ must be your breath, heart, love, life, your all, said St. John Eudes, a 17th century priest. Our clergy and religious live that out every day. A religious vocation can take one to the heights of joy. Practically speaking, though, the demands on one's time and the pressures one faces can be intense. Our diocese will look to provide support, resources, and encouragement to help those who have given their lives to God and His Church through the priesthood and consecrated life. Our first goal, under the pillar of religious vocations, is to provide health, wellness, spiritual resources, and support to priests and religious for a balanced, integrated life. We also will strive to provide pastoral leadership development opportunities so that priests feel confident and equipped for their work. Our priests are trained in theology, but they may also have to learn the basics on matters ranging from accounting to maintenance in their parishes. That's where more and different training, including pastoral leadership development, as well as lay volunteers, may be of help. Another goal is to create opportunities for the laity to deepen their understanding of the vocations of priesthood and religious life. Knowledge leads to understanding. And the more we know about the work of our priests and religious, the better we can understand and address their needs. Finally, we will aim to promote a culture of vocations at the parish and diocesan levels to increase the number of priests and religious. God has blessed our diocese with vocations, and we have a great story to share. We need to make sure those who are being called are hearing that story. St. Alphonsus Liguori, a moral theologian and bishop, is a saint often invoked for vocations. This doctor of the church wrote on the spiritual life, helping many discern the vocation they were being called to. Realize that you may gain more in a quarter of an hour of prayer before the Blessed Sacrament than in all the other practices of the day, the saint advised. St. Alphonsus Liguori, watch over the priests, religious, and all those discerning their vocation in the Diocese of Lincoln. Help them to know God's love for them and their work. Pray they always know the vital ministry God has given to them to serve Him and His people. Pray for their protection, their health, and their constant love of the Lord. Let us be one heart in Christ. Holy marriage and family life. Build up holy marriages and family life so that every person finds a home in the church. It seems the culture in which we live at times can be outwardly hostile toward marriage and the family. The church should be a refuge from that persecution. We know building solid families will strengthen the church and the culture. As the family goes, so goes the nation, and so goes the whole world in which we live, said St. John Paul II. Marriage matters to our society, and it certainly matters to us as Catholics. God Himself is the author of marriage, and He has given it a purpose. To quote from a marriage document from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, the bishops go on to point out, marriage is the foundation for the family, where children learn the values and the virtues that will make good Christians as well as good citizens. Our diocese's investment in marriage and the family will pay dividends in this life and the next. Our first goal under the pillar is to revive sacramental marriage and prepare couples for marriage through structured stages of formation, mentorship, and support in the pre-marriage and early marriage stages. This allows for conversion, accompaniment, and a bridge into the parish community. The Church has called all dioceses to begin forming engaged and married couples through the marriage catechumenate, which is a much more relational approach to marriage formation and ongoing catechesis. It is an evangelizing catechesis that not only forms the intellect but engages the heart. Our second goal is to provide throughout the diocese ongoing marriage enrichment, formation, and renewal for couples married 5 years or more. There is never a time when we can stop working on our marriages. It takes consistent attention and all the understanding, patience, kindness, and love each spouse can offer. Another goal is to broaden ministries of accompaniment throughout the diocese for families with special emphasis on the poor and those with special needs. Everyone who wants to build up their families should find a place and a way to do that. Finally, we have the goal of providing access to resources that support families in order to promote a culture of life. We can't allow a culture of death to prevail. We won't if we do our part and ask God for His grace as we work to protect the unborn and walk with mothers in need. St. Joseph provides an excellent, faithful role model for marriages and families. As the head of the Holy Family, he protected Mary and was called to be Jesus' foster father. St. Joseph knew the struggles of being a husband and an earthly father to our Lord, and he was always ready to guide and protect, as he still is for our families today. Saints Louis and Zélie Martin also provide a great example of a loving couple who welcomed 9 children into their family, including a daughter, Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower. I want to have many children in order to raise them for heaven, Saint Zélie said. This humble couple, who chose a life of service and sacrifice, became the first married couple to be canonized together. St. Joseph, Saints Louis and Zelie Martin, watch over those who are married and all families in the Diocese of Lincoln. Time and again, you sacrificed for your spouse and your family. Pray that we may follow your example of love and devotion. Help us to create a culture of life that nourishes marriage and families for the good of society and to give glory to God. Let us be one heart in Christ. One heart in Christ. At the beginning of his gospel, St. Mark tells us that Jesus went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed the 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him and he might send them out. Jesus first and foremost calls each one of us to his most sacred heart to be with him so that he can send us out as his missionary disciples. Jesus calls each one of us to be with him so that he might share with us everything he has and everything he is, calling us to a deep intimacy and friendship with him and to share the mission entrusted to him by the Father and all the secrets of Trinitarian life. This is not our mission. It is the Father's mission given to us through the Son. Just as the Father and the Son always work in perfect harmony and unity of love, so Jesus invites us to join him, one heart in Christ, as intimate friends and collaborators to accomplish together the one mission entrusted to him by the Father. And it is in and through the Holy Eucharist that we are sent out, ita missa est, the words we hear at the end of Mass, to make disciples and bear fruit. The mission of one heart in Christ must be the organic fruit of the reality of intimate union, never a separate end in itself. St. John best expresses this truth. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. This abiding in him, in the one heart in Christ, is the place from which he sends us out. All Christian apostolic fruitfulness vitally depends on that habitual abiding in Christ as the very soil out of which the kingdom can grow. As we implement this pastoral plan, the Diocese of Lincoln will be better equipped to speak to the heart of all within its bounds and lead them to Christ and eternal life. Despite the many challenges we face, I am consoled knowing we are and will become even more one heart in Christ. Saints Joseph, Teresa of Calcutta, Thomas Aquinas, John Henry Newman, Alphonsus Liguori, and Louis and Zelie Martin, pray for us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.